some pretty dark forces, okay? He's the golden boy of Oregon. He's my homie. Please give a big old NBC welcome to Anthony Johnson.
Well, thank you, Alex, for that very generous introduction. And as I will remind people over and over again, you know, people put in decades upon decades in this battle to end the barbaric practice of locking people in cages for cannabis. So definitely not a one-man show. All of us in this fight, battle, whether it be politics, culture, advocacy, business, we all stand upon the shoulders of giants, and there are a lot of people came before all of us, so I always want to remember the people that put in the work before us, who got us where we're at, and the battle is not done. We still have more work to be done. And one of those people who has been helping push us forward nationally is our next speaker. As a political junkie and somebody who pays attention to politics, a lot of my friends and colleagues like to ask me, what I'm thinking about, who, the candidates and who's running. In 2012, they're asking about the presidential candidates. And, I said, well, I really like, our next speaker, Gary Johnson. I was like, on paper, Gary Johnson should be the Republican nominee.
Yeah.
Two-term governor in a swing state of New Mexico. Balanced budgets, created jobs, and was a self-made businessman who created a $1 million business on his own work. It wasn't handed to him on a silver spoon. He rose himself up, and he preaches and practices self-determination, personal liberty, and self-reliance. And in his second term, he made the decriminalization of marijuana and moving us forward towards legalization of marijuana, one of the cornerstones of his governorship, and he really, really was ahead of his time. And now he is moving into business as well as keeping in the political realm and moving us forward. And he, Ron Paul, Dana Rohrabacher, Earl Blumenauer, Jared Polis, there's all these people nationally that are moving us forward, and we're seeing as we progress state by state by state, city by city, person by person, we're also getting great movement federally as well. And with his new company, Cannabis Sativa, that he's CEO, he has brought in and is working with Mike Gravel, a former U.S. Senator from Alaska, Stephen Downing, who's a 20-year veteran of the LAPD, former deputy police chief, as well as Jim Gray, former Superior Court judge in California. And bringing people like that into the fold is only going to move us forward as we end cannabis prohibition. In this state, there's so many more hurdles we need to jump over, so many more obstacles we need to knock down. We're going to do it state by state. We're going to do it federally. And this man is as responsible as anyone for moving us forward to where we see now the Republican candidates who are running for governor or running for president. It's almost a detriment to say you haven't used marijuana or you don't know anything about marijuana. Now it's like they are at least moving forward on states' rights as far as what states should do on marijuana, because now they understand the politics of it. But this man is really instrumental in moving us forward. So please give a warm welcome to the former two-term governor of New Mexico, CEO of Cannabis Sativa, Mr. Gary Johnson.
Indulge me a little bit, I'd like to add to who I am. My whole life is about health and wellness. You are looking at a cat up here who's really a happy cat. I purr all the time. And it has to do with a lot of things. One is, I have a terrific family, a son and a daughter. They're fantastic. I'm engaged to be married. We've been engaged now. I've been engaged to Kate Krusek for 6 years, but I'm in love, and that's a terrific thing. We share the same passions, and it's important.
Yeah.
My, my whole life is about health and wellness. I haven't had a drink of alcohol in 28 years. I don't begrudge anybody who drinks, but for me, you know, I found that as a handicap, and marijuana, from the very first time that I ever consumed marijuana, I just thought it was such a safer alternative than alcohol, that it offered everything that I was in search of, and that it really forms a basis for my health and wellness. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. I've paid for everything that I've had in my life since I've been 17. I was throwing newspapers at 12 and shoveling snow and what have you. And when I was 17, I got a job in construction, highest paying job that was available. But when I was 21, I went into business for myself, one man handyman. And over a 20-year period, actually grew that business to employ over 1,000 people. Electrical, mechanical, plumbing, pipe fitting, really high tech. I sold that business in 1999. Nobody lost their job. They're doing better than ever. And that gave me my financial freedom to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And that doesn't say I got a lot of money. It's just you're looking at one really frugal cat. There's a big difference between cheap and frugal. I'm a really frugal cat. I'm not cheap. I got elected governor of New Mexico. I had never been involved in politics prior to getting elected governor of New Mexico. I mean, never even counted in a campaign sign. My whole thing was, let's just bring a common sense business approach to state government. Best product, best service, lowest price. I get elected governor in a state that's 2-1 Democrat. I got elected as a Republican, and then I got reelected. And I think it was on the basis of everybody saw this level hand out there, if you will. When I was running for governor the first time in New Mexico, I did something that in 1994 nobody did, and that was I made it known that I smoked marijuana and that on occasion I had done cocaine on a handful of occasions, something that no one would have ever known, but I put it out there because nobody put it out there, and I hated the fact that Bill Clinton said, "Yeah, but I didn't inhale," you know? I hated that, I hated it. So I made it known, and it got some publicity, and a reporter puts a microphone in my face and says, "So did you inhale?" And I said, "You know what, Stuart? I never exhale." This was when I was running for governor. And when I was running for governor, I was asked the question, "Well, gee, aren't you sorry for your indiscretions?" No. I've done what 100 million people in this country have done, and no, I make no apologies for anything that I've done. Well, first time I'm running for governor, the lieutenant governor of the other party, the candidate that's running for lieutenant governor, she comes out and she starts bashing Gary Johnson because he's irresponsibly setting a bad example for kids, and is this somebody that we really want to elect as governor of the state of New Mexico? Same reporter puts a microphone in my, or he's asked me about it, "Hey, how do you respond to her?" I said, "Well, Patricia Madrid, I mean, it's pretty well known. She was a pothead in college. I mean, she smoked marijuana. I mean, this was a well-known thing." Now, that didn't appear on camera. This is just something that I told Stuart. Well, he goes to Patricia Madrid, and he starts asking questions again about Gary Johnson. And she says, "Well, he's a horrible, horrible example, horrible role model." And he said to her, and this is on camera, "Patricia, have you ever smoked marijuana?" "Well, yes, but I did it responsibly." That was the last we ever heard about it. I mean, really, it was the hypocrisy, and you all know what that hypocrisy is. You absolutely, we see it every single day. Currently, I am the CEO and president of Cannabis Sativa Incorporated. I really view this as my dream job. I did take third place in the presidential elections in 2012, getting 1.3 million votes. I do not know why I would want to be president of the United States, given that currently I am the president of HI. It's like my dream job. So in taking this job as president of HI, really it's about changing the world for the better. And I'm talking about the medicinal side of this that changes the world for the better. The fact that CBD, THC, whole plant marijuana arguably cures MS, Parkinson's, or helps or promotes or makes things better. Parkinson's, MS, epilepsy with kids, antidepressants, direct competitor to antidepressants, direct competitor to legal prescription painkillers that statistically kill 100,000 people a year. I mean, this is wacko. You got CBG, which arguably impacts Alzheimer's. These 85 cannabinoids that work with one another. Going forward, if the marijuana plant were discovered today in the Amazon, it would be hailed as humankind's greatest discovery. That's what we would have today. Well, it wasn't discovered. So, a story here, all right? And maybe you can pass this on to others that help others better understand this. Right now, as President and CEO of CBDS, we are going to be marketing CBD to the entire country, hemp-derived CBD. Is CBD the best product, or this legal product that we're offering up to the United States, is this the best product that we could be can be offering? No. The best product that we could be offering would be whole plant, with CBD being the main component of the whole plant and THC and everything else working with one another. This is a voice that I'm going to be able to give to these issues. I met with a researcher in Seattle, Washington this last summer. He was working with a young woman, 13 years old, who was having 300 epileptic seizures a week. Gave her what he said was 4 units of CBD. And the seizures went from 300 to 50 a week. Well, you realize that legislatures all over the country are jumping on the fact that, okay, we should legalize CBD, that's okay, because it doesn't contain the boogeyman THC. Well, this researcher added 1 unit of THC. Now, keep in mind, this is separated THC, this is separated CBD, this is not whole plant. Added 1 unit of THC and the seizures went from 300 to 50 to 8. It is conceivable if we had whole plant. The understanding of people that we have so far to go and that it really is exciting. We need the research and development that goes along with what arguably at some point will just cure all of humankind's maladies. It's very, very exciting. And then I have always maintained that legalizing marijuana for recreational use will result in a much better planet because people will find marijuana as such a safer alternative than alcohol and other harder drugs. And with legalization right now, we're seeing refinements in the highs that are getting produced that I think really compete against illegal drugs. Would the world be a better place if we legalized all drugs tomorrow? Absolutely, the world would be a better place tomorrow. But in my opinion, that is not gonna happen tomorrow. What will happen, though, is when marijuana gets legalized, the whole country is going to take a quantum leap when it comes to looking at drugs and at least a starting point of decriminalizing drug use. It was here in Oregon, when I was governor, that I was asked to meet with district judges in Portland. I was there giving a talk at Cascade Institute. This was after I said, as governor, let's legalize marijuana. This is crazy. Let's stop with the criminalization of America. These judges met with me, and I had no idea what to expect, but what they said was, they said, we are here to support you. We think that what you're saying is right on, but we would like to share with you a story that maybe you can pass on to others that will make others better understand the drug war. They said methamphetamine is really the horrible drug. They said, we get people in here that are using methamphetamine and their behavior is altered and bad things result from that altered behavior. It really is the boogeyman drug. But they said it's the best, this is the judges talking, it's the best example that we can think of a prohibition drug. It's a prohibition drug, it exists because it's cheap and it's easy to make, and so the consequences fall disparagingly on the poor. They said, we're not suggesting the following, but if cocaine were legal, these people would be using cocaine instead of methamphetamine without the negative behavioral consequence. Now, I know that that is true, but cocaine, for people that use cocaine, I mean, let's just get back to just truth when it comes to the war on drugs. The truth is, if you're a cocaine user and you use it all the time, you are going to die. You're going to die from heart failure. Cocaine puts holes in your heart, and the typical cocaine user is Whitney Houston that, you know, at age 50, keels over and dies from cocaine use. Are people going to kill themselves using cocaine knowing that? Yes, they are. But isn't that going to reduce cocaine use significantly if the truth were actually part of this? I was in the CPAC debates 2 weeks ago. I don't know if you saw it, but I had the first thing that I've ever done that went viral. I was in a debate at CPAC. CPAC is conservative political action, whatever. You know, and I was there as the grenade thrower. I was there as the grenade thrower debating marijuana legalization and also let's stop dropping bombs when it comes to, you know, our role in the world. But in this marijuana debate, this is the opportunity that I'm being given. In this marijuana debate, I'm debating a former congresswoman and member of the Consumer Protection Agency. And she said, you smoke marijuana, and within 1 hour of smoking marijuana, there is a 5 times more likelihood that you will die of a heart attack. And right then and there, sitting in my chair, I mean, my heart started beating really fast. The next thing I know, I fell out of my chair. I was on my back. And miraculously, it wasn't a heart attack, thank goodness. But anyway, that's something that went viral. That's the opportunity that I've been given, and I'm trying to make the best of that opportunity because this whole drug war really does have to end in a big way. Now, there are some issues with legalization. There are a number of issues with legalization. One of them is impairment. None of us want people becoming impaired and getting behind the wheel of a car and potentially harming others. Now, I've said this many times, and I say this tongue-in-cheek, but I'll probably get a lot of agreement here. As much marijuana as I have ever consumed in my entire life, I have gotten behind the wheel of a car. Shouldn't have, but did. But this has always been my experience. I'm driving down the road, I'm going the speed limit because I don't want to get picked up for driving too slow, I'm driving between the lines, I'm obeying all traffic signs, I'm obeying traffic lights. I have no idea where I am, but I know that if I keep on driving, it'll eventually come to me, and it always came to me. Now that's the flippant side of this, okay? The reality is that we do need to establish impairments because right now, drug testing is rampant, and all drug testing does is test for the presence of marijuana. So that somebody, and I know I'm speaking to the choir, I know you understand this, but it's something that needs to be communicated to others. Testing positive for marijuana more than 10 nanograms in your system in no way determines impairment. It just determines that it's there, and should a person who does this the evening before lose their job the next day because they test for the presence of marijuana in their system? No, they shouldn't, and we've got to be really, really active on this.